Philomath on 104.3 FM and K220 HR in Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. At 8, it's Rising Up with Sonali, with voices from last weekend's March for Our Lives protests in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly news and commentary program, digging deep into the news you aren't supposed to know. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, interviews, news, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, two Northwest authors, Jenny Forrester and Lydia Yuknovich, talk about their recent work. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Good evening, this is Mike Crenshaw, and you are with us again for our weekly news segment called News from the Boo. News from in and around the KBOO community, and this evening I have a very special guest, John Ashford Jr. in the house with me. John and I go back a long way. We have a history of doing youth work together, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about some of the work that John is doing in the community currently and going into the foreseeable future. How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, afternoon? Brother. I'm glad we're here talking. It's always exciting to hear about what you're up to. But you and I got together as social and professional colleagues through doing youth work. So can you tell me and the listeners a little bit about what you've been doing as far as youth work?
Okay, yes. I came here in 87. I started off as a youth minister for St. Andrew's, the McLeod Church. And Lorenzo Poe asked me to, I was about to move back home to Chicago, and he asked me to stay back and work for the juvenile department as a probation officer. I got into that, and then I got hired as a probation officer working with the first gang unit, the GRIT team. And I did that for like maybe 4 to 5 years. I've been with the county for, I'm going on my 28th year, and I've done all type of community detention, Save Our Youth program, conflict resolution, violence prevention programs. And right now I'm actually doing informal, trying to keep young people from impacting the juvenile justice department.
So I've been on site with you in different correctional institutions for juveniles over the years throughout the state of Oregon. And it seems to me, you know, there's a couple of different types of people in the positions that they're in those industries. There are some people who are very conscious and aware of the benefit that they can have in young people's lives. There are people who are just kind of waiting to get their retirement and get out of there. And then there are people who are actually unconscious or even harmful to the young people. Can you tell me a little bit about the work you do with consciousness and awareness of energy and how you transfer that understanding to the young people that you work with?
Yeah, I got frustrated because you're right, man. I work in a system that is unconscious on a whole. And it's by design. And I know people might be like, why would you say you still work there? It's unconscious because it doesn't allow young people to create choice and awareness. And anytime you don't create choice and awareness, you have dead people.
Wow.
And I've been very passionate in the years on how can I do something different? How can I make an impact so that a person doesn't depend on me, but they start making choices for themselves? So I've been all over the place with different meditations, Tai Chi. I've been using all these tools. And recently, I stepped into this access consciousness because there were tools that allow people to get quick results by just choosing themselves first. It's a whole different way of organizing and working with the body.
Huh. Okay, so let me look at a couple of different stereotypes and generalizations that we make in this society about the East versus the West. So the West is a very ego-centered place that is very self-centered, and it's very me first. the individual takes priority over the collective and so forth. But when you're talking about energy work and that kind of consciousness, this is something we generally associate with the East, okay? To make a generalization. So when I hear you say me first, based on the stereotypes of how I would generalize Western consciousness versus Eastern consciousness, I'm hearing something that's contradictory to me, because you're talking about energy, but then you're saying me first. So is there, what would you say to people who are like, well, doesn't that mean you're being self-centered?
No. So I love it. So here's the piece. I've done both. And what I realize is that you could either look at one with an interesting point of view of saying East is better than West and West is the worst. I choose to look at it from the standpoint, how can I take the best out of two worlds and make a great impact that people can live their lives with infinite possibilities? Mm. So in the past, I believed that you had to be poor to do this type of work. Meanwhile, all the young people I'm working with that were selling drugs and having guns and doing madness like that wanted some type of wealth. What happens when you start to use consciousness so they can make choices to create something totally different, that they get their wealth, but they impact the earth with kindness, with consciousness?
Okay, so for people who come from places where there's multi-generational poverty and debt and lack of having access to wealth and the tools to create wealth, a lot of us, a lot of people who are from that mindset, associate wealth with having material and having a lot of cash. But we also know that some of those same ways of thinking have led to problems with the environment and the ecological sphere, the biosphere of the earth and the planet, to the point where we don't know that we can sustain humanity further. So how do we access consciousness, access wealth in a way that's not destructive, and instill those practices in young people?
It's simple. Start teaching people how to step into awareness. Awareness is knowing, trusting your knowing, not what you're told. See, I challenge the school systems because they don't allow children to step into their knowing. They teach them to believe something, and they believe stuff, and they give them things, they spoon-fed people, and they give them information, and they never ask them to think about what are they doing. What I'm talking about is stepping in total awareness, which allows you to choose what's going to be better for you and the planet at the same time. There's no separation from you and the planet. That's the first thing. So if you go back to our Native American brothers and sisters, they understood the importance of the planet. I'm saying that if you stay in consciousness with the planet and yourself, you're not going to make these asinine choices that we see people do in our political systems and in our school system and all the institutions and our government. It's because they do not have the consciousness, which is the awareness and choice. So they do things haphazardly with not even realizing who would piss in their own water and drink it. Mm. A person unconscious.
There, you know, you're cracking me up because I digress. But like last night, there's this comedian that lives here, and she has this whole bit about how she got addicted to drinking her urine when she was a meth addict. So anyway, back to the situation at hand. What is something that anyone who's listening right now that's feeling inspired by what we're talking about and by what you're saying, what's something that somebody could do, a practice, that would bring them to awareness where they're not going to have to go to an expensive yoga studio in a gentrified part of the town and feel excluded or something? Like, what can normal working class people, what can young people do today?
Ask questions. Stay in the question. Uh-huh. Instead of, see, what happens is we're taught in this society to go to the result. We want answers. Mm. That's finite. That's end. Infinite is when you go out beyond that, and that's the question after question after question after question. Go into nature and ask questions. Go into nature and ask, why is my body connecting, what is this happening when I'm in nature? Why do I feel different than if I'm in the concrete jungle? You know, what is it like when I'm around a lot of people that are not asking questions? What impact is happening? What's in the impact on my body? So you don't have to do anything special. You just have to stay in the question about what else is possible. What will it take for me to create something different in my life that I can step out of poverty? See, schools are not designed. I work with a group of boys in Young Men Empowerment Program on Fridays, and I was speaking to a group of high school boys, and they were asking me, how come we don't talk about economics in high school? We haven't even had it from 1 through 8, anything about economics, because they want to separate the consciousness out of that, because young people ask a lot of questions, which would then force adults to do something different. You see it right now with this gun stuff going on in the country. You have these 17-year-olds, and I don't care what they look like, they're asking questions, and adults don't know what to say. I think it was hilarious that that dude down in Florida didn't know how to respond to this 17-year-old boy.
Well, you know, what I've seen on social media is quite revealing. I've seen a lot of adults actually have the kind of temper tantrums that we would expect from smaller children.
Yes.
You know, 3-, 4-year-old, 5-year-old children, but they're having these type of temper tantrums with their language.
Yeah.
And with the type of things that they say on social media. And, you know, it's at first it's funny, and then it's ultimately it's kind of sad, because, you know, anybody that works with young people that has to have a heightened degree of awareness about the type of things that you say and how people will receive them. You know, when you type things on Facebook or whatever, and there's another story every day about this, that never goes away.
Right.
They keep that information.
Yes.
That information will then be used against you.
Yes.
If it becomes advantageous to somebody with the adversarial interest in relation to who you are. You know, so when these adults are out here having these meltdowns.
Yeah.
In relation to children, really just being present in the moment.
Yes.
And being logical.
Yes.
About something that's extremely illogical.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that we have a society that prioritizes profit to the degree that if there is a lot of profit to be made off of something that is highly destructive,
yeah,
then that takes priority over the alternative.
Yes.
Which would be something that's life sustaining.
Yeah.
And people have so internalized this illogical, destructive consciousness that they lose their damn minds.
Yeah.
When somebody speaks with clear,
yes,
present,
yes,
opposition to it.
Yes. Because one of the things is that this is a society that's based on the fear factor. Mm-hmm. If I keep you afraid, it's like this. I told this story before to a group of kids. I live in Camas. I have a bunch of fruit trees. I watch deers clear a 6-foot fence, not running, but just jumping up and over the fence. But yet they get hit by a car moving at 30, 45 miles an hour, and the car's not quite 6 feet. So why don't the deer jump up above the car? Fear. That's what happens to us as adults. As you get older, you step more into fear about what I'm not going to have, what I can't create in the entire world. You stay in relationships that aren't, you're not happy because what would happen if I leave? You know, because we're bombarded by fear. That 17-year-old boy looked at that politician. He wasn't old enough to have the fear, so he said exactly what he wanted to say. And the adult then went into fear, and he turned into the deer.
Paralysis.
Yes.
You know, a friend of mine joked, some of you might be familiar with this term, paralysis of analysis.
Yes.
Where instead of doing what needs to be done, you sit there paralyzed by thinking about all the reasons you shouldn't do, can't do, are afraid to do what needs to happen. You know, now there's a way to be aware and not reactive and not reactionary. Be intelligent, be effective and practical, and think critically, but still flow.
Yes.
You know, because we as adults, you know, we do have a degree of awareness that is grounded in responsibility. Like, we have to encourage young people, you know. I don't want you to be scared like the deer in the headlights and get run over, But I do want you to be agile and be able to jump the fence and get to the berries.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes there's an intersection where a young person has a firearm in their pocket.
Yeah.
And they do have to slow down.
Yeah.
In that moment and think, if I react without fear in this instant, maybe that's not the most effective way to be.
Yeah.
So it's complex what I'm saying.
For sure. And the more you allow kids to explore awareness, then you can ask the question, how'd you get there with that weapon in your hand?
Okay.
So what happens, I'm going to keep going back and ask more and more questions. There's no such, there's no stupid questions. It's just a multitude, an infinite possibility of questions. And the place where we are in society is that we stop asking questions, we get stuck, and you have the result of what you have in the U.S. right now.
I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. John, if people want to access your work, is there teaching?
Yes.
There classes? How do people find out more?
They can go to my website at www.beingjohnashford.com, or they can hit me up at john@beingjohnashford.com. And I have a multitude of classes I teach monthly. I have classes coming up in May, Right Body for You, teaching people how to get into their body, how to break down the trends of not being in communion with your body. I have two classes coming in the May. Actually, a sister, Danielle Carter, is coming to town. And she's going to help facilitate this process of people actually getting more in their body.
That's what's up, man. It's been good talking to you, and thank you for listening to News from the Boo. Again, this is John Ashford. I'm Mike Crenshaw, and we're out.
Peace.
This is KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for The Underground.